Our epistle for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not by its own will, but by reason of him who made it subject. In hope, because creation itself also will be delivered from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. For we know that all creation groans and travails in pain until now. But not only it, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoptions as sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. At that time, while the crowds were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by Lake Genezareth. And he saw two boats moored by the lake, but the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one that was Simon's, he besought him to put out a little from the land. And sitting down, he began to teach the crowds from the boat. But when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing. But at thy word I will lower the net." And when he had done so, he enclosed a great number of fish, but their net was breaking. And they beckoned to their comrades in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had made. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us
sinners now and at the hour of our death. Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, today in the Gospel we have an incident of faith. These men had fished all night, and still our Lord tells them to go back out right now and lower their nets. Simon, not in a complaining manner, but in explanation to the Lord, they had worked all night. They had just cleaned their nets. What he was asking, naturally, didn't make sense. But supernaturally is where faith exists. It is here important for us to examine our faith. When I take a look on the past, especially when I'm considering all the changes that have happened in the church, it's very clear to me that it just didn't happen overnight. It just didn't have some meeting and then the next day, modernism was the thing on the menu. It was planned by the enemies of the church. It was put into action by the enemies of the church. But what about all those that weren't the enemies of the church? And there was an awful lot. There is an awful lot. I have to point to, or I have to consider, that perhaps their faith was deficient. When they walked into church and they genuflected, do they really recall to their mind that they have entered into the presence of the Eucharistic King? not in idea, but in reality, body, blood, soul, and divinity, as you and I are in his presence right now. Or so as Catholics we say we believe. Before we can have any hope where it concerns the goodness of Christ, we first must recognize him and see him through the eyes of faith. But faith isn't just about words. Remember what our Lord says. Not he who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does. And this is where our faith is put into practice, or is tested. We all have Bibles, or we should, and if we don't, you should get one. And if Bible reading for you is only a Sunday event, well, you should consider maybe reading it a few more times throughout the week, especially the New Testament. There are great reminders in the Bible of the things that the good Lord tells us. Like when he talks about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about our membership in the church, the mystical body of Christ, our connection with Christ, which gives us our passport to our eternal home, which is heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man in search of a great treasure, and finding the treasure in the field, sells everything to have that field and to have that treasure. Or it's like the pearl, a great price. A man sees this pearl, wants it, sells everything to have that pearl. The same thing, or the same decision, is ours. There are things we have to let go of. We have to let go of spiritual stupidity. We have to let go of selfishness. We have to let go of immorality. Otherwise, we can't have hold of Christ. It's an impossibility. What is spiritual stupidity? Spiritual stupidity is this: when we have the concept of religion, then we use it as a pacifier and forgetting that we have an immortal soul to save. It's already been saved by Christ. Now we must do our part to save it. And we must be willing to give up anything that stands in the way of our connection with him. Anything and everything. This is where we're putting faith into motion, into action. It's easy to say, I believe. It's easy to say that I believe that Christ died for me on the cross. It's another whole thing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and to follow him and die to self, so he might rise in you. And my dear friends in Christ, this is the time for faith, for true faith. This is where we strive and understand what the good Lord is asking of us, what he wants from us, and try to comply, even though it might not make natural sense to us. But if he's asking, you can be assured that it makes supernatural sense. And one thing that we must strive against is fear. Fear is a playground the devil loves. Fear is a playground that evil likes to vegetate in. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, we're talking about the fear of offending a God we love, not a fear of hell and damnation. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, we don't want to go there, but that's not the greatest fear. The greatest fear is not obtaining our true home, or our true goal, which is heaven. That's why Christ says to Simon Peter, after the great miracle, don't be afraid. Was he afraid? Yeah, he saw something supernatural. Scared him. Don't be afraid. And then he gives him a vocation. His vocation. Henceforth thou shalt catch men. But look at Simon Peter's attitude towards Christ after the great miracle. It's one of adoration, contrition, petition, and gratitude, or thanksgiving, the four ends of prayer. Adoration, he falls down on his knees before our Lord. Contrition, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. The petition, our Lord, or Peter was saying, kind of the opposite of what his words said. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Well, he needed help. He was a sinner. He needed a Savior. And then thanksgiving or gratitude, put it into action. They left all and followed him. Let us pray for the grace today, my dear friends in Christ, for an increase in faith, to make sure that we are willing and able to do all that God wishes us to do and calls us to do and asks us to do. To not make our faith or our religion a pacifier, but to make our faith and religion real. And then to put it into action, to be instruments of his peace and his goodness and his grace. And as he tells us in the Gospels, to remember that we're the light of the world. And we're supposed to let our light shine before men so that they might see our good works and rejoice in our Father who is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.